Spurgeon said, we can't tolerate lukewarmness, not when it comes to sending the gospel to a dying nation. I hope we won't tolerate prayerlessness when it comes to sending those as well. For those of us that stay at home, I think watching this, what can those of us do that don't go pray? I mean, if anything, I wanted you to see this face, Joseph Urban, and remember it and pray for him. About 3 years ago, has it been three since you started the work in Guadalajara?
Almost 3 years with the church plant.
3 years ago, church plant. This man, Joseph Urban, his wife Lena, they had actually been down in the more desert regions to the south of Mexico, and they came up and they started a church plant in Guadalajara. And the Lord has turned that into somewhere around 100 now. And then a group of people 7 hours away by bus in Mexico City said, Joseph, come help us. This guy's been jumping on a bus like Friday night, all night.
Saturday during the day, all day Saturday.
Yeah, speaking all day Saturday to the group in Mexico City, getting on the bus, traveling all the way back 7 hours Saturday night. I said, well, that's good, brother. You can sleep. He says, I can't sleep. I said, well, you can study. He says, I can't study on the bus either. So he's got 14 hours where he has to abide that 7 hour one way, 7 hour the other way, but he's seeking to minister to the group in Mexico City and then come back to the group in Guadalajara. He asked me not just recently, he said there's a group halfway between asking him if he can stop there. And as I've talked to him about this, he says, brother, we have requests from every major city in Mexico. John Seitzma, my fellow elder, he was probably working in Mexico or involved down there before I was even saved. And I have been almost since I was saved and I'd moved down here to Texas. He and I will agree, we can hardly believe what we're seeing happening. In Mexico, there is a thirst, there is a hunger, and I'm pleading with you all. If I think anything about this conference is we got a group of people together that I can just beseech you, please pray for Joseph and Lena, and pray for the spread of the gospel, pray for these churches as they're being planted, pray that God would raise up laborers. We desperately need laborers. Joseph desperately needs help. And you saw, we are wanting to translate, or we're wanting to print, actually, 10,000 copies of Brother Charles' book, Justification Regeneration, into Spanish. And Joseph's desire is to be able to distribute those free to every single church leader. And they've got those. Church leaders are asking him, come, teach us, train us. You have younger guys that are wanting to be prepared for the ministry, that are asking him for help. And the hope is that we can print 10,000 of these right off and then use all those up, be able to distribute those and get that truth. We need truth in Mexico. But I wanted you to see this guy, and I want you to hear from him. And I want to introduce to you Joseph Urban.
Thank you, brother. Well, it's a great privilege and an honor to be here. I'm certainly not worthy to stand up here, and I'm just crying out continually like Paul. Who is sufficient for these things? And if Paul wasn't sufficient for these things, I have no idea what I am. We've been laboring. We started the church plant in Guadalajara in July of 2010. We started out with just me, my wife and my co-laborer. His name's Aaron Block. He's a young guy, Peruvian, and he lives with us, labors with us down there. Well, just the three of us started the church plant down there in Guadalajara in July of 2010. And starting out, I remember so clearly, I was still scared to start. I was hesitating with going forward with the church plant. My Spanish wasn't too good during that time, but I was making trips up to San Antonio, and I was talking with these guys. And John Seitzma started encouraging me because there were people that from the fruit of the evangelism downtown were wanting to be discipled. So he started encouraging me, well, why don't you guys form a church? And I was nervous, I was hesitating, but after that trip, I went down and said, let's just step out in faith, let's go for it. So we started. There were people. There were a couple of people congregating in another church and other churches from evangelism, but we started out with just the three of us in the church plant, and we went door to door in our neighborhood. And I remember so clearly. We printed out, I think it was 2,000 flyers saying that we're going to have a Bible study on Sunday evenings in our house. We went door to door. We must have given out at least 1,000 of those flyers and talked with people, inviting them personally to come to the meetings and sharing the gospel with as many people as we possibly could that would listen as we did it. So we had at least 100 people emphatically tell us that they were going to be there. And I remember telling my wife, I said, we got to stop giving out flyers. We started on Monday, so we would have the whole week. And we got to stop giving out flyers because so many people have said they're going to come. There's not enough space in our living room. Well, Sunday came around, we had the meeting, and one person showed up. Save people. And the Lord saved an older couple who had been Catholics their entire lives. This is an older couple in their 60s. And the Lord just gloriously saved them, transformed them, pulled them out of Catholicism. They began congregating. And then the wife of this man, the woman, she began to have a tremendous burden that God would save her son. And she said that her son was lost. He was into drugs, into alcohol. He was destroying his life. He was depressed. And he was in a rehab center. And she kept saying, I have faith that God's going to save my son. And I was thinking, I really hope she has faith that God's going to save him, because I don't have that much faith that God's going to save him. And I don't want her to be disappointed because she was a new convert. She's a brand new convert. And, you know. So I remember one Friday, our evening Bible study turned into a prayer meeting. We began praying for this man's salvation. Earlier during that week, he had threatened his parents that if they talked to him again about this Christianity stuff, he was a Catholic. Flagrantly immoral, but Catholic. And he told them that if they talked to him again about Christianity, that he was never going to talk to him again. He absolutely just venom, just rejecting the gospel. Well, we prayed that Friday, and then he shows up at the meeting of the church on Sunday, the very Sunday after he wanted to disown his parents for the gospel. And that Sunday, I preached on the second part of Mark 1:15 that says, repent and believe the gospel. And I talked about what it means to believe the gospel, what is saving faith. He comes up to me afterwards, frustrated, and he says, you mean to tell me if I just believe what you're saying now and I believe in Jesus, that He'll set me free from all this stuff that I've never been able to be freed from on my own? I said, well, yeah. And so I took him through the scriptures. I showed him John 8, he who the Son makes free shall be free indeed, and some other scriptures. And he began to see it in scripture. He said, look, I stopped doing drugs recently, but I have to drink. I have to smoke cigarettes. I have to have women. He said, this is never going to change. And I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. He went out of there the very next day. He said he was smoking a cigarette, and in the midst of smoking it, he said, I don't have to do this anymore. Why am I? He put the thing out. He never picked one up again. He repented. He believed on the Lord. The Lord gloriously saved him. This was about a year and a half ago. He got baptized. He's a member of the congregation. He is the most zealous, well, one of the most zealous men in the congregation. Loves the Lord. Just such a blessing to see him. But the salvation of those three, I don't know how to describe what happened from there. I guess the thing just took off and the Lord started saving people. It's not anything I've done. It's in spite of what I've done, I think. More people have gotten saved. People are coming over from other churches. One thing that's happening in Mexico that we're seeing is a revival amongst the professing Christians, in a sense. We're seeing Christians that have been in churches, and even false Christians and false converts that have been in Christians, some of them that have decades in Christian churches, but Christian churches that aren't preaching the biblical gospel. They're not preaching Christ and Him crucified. They're not explaining what regeneration is. This is part of our burden with the book of Brother Charles, because these doctrines, justification and regeneration, the very heart of the gospel, these things at large are not being preached in churches in Mexico and in Latin America. Salvation is not understood. The doctrines of grace are not being taught and preached and expounded. And believers and people and false converts are not understanding the biblical gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our burden. I mean, our burden isn't to teach, you know, complicated concepts of eschatology and splitting hairs in the book of Revelation. Our burden is just to see the gospel, the biblical gospel preached and taught in Mexico. And the difference is that here in the United States, I mean, I know there's a famine in the land in many places. And here in the United States, you know, sometimes we have a problem finding a hard time finding a biblical church. But the thing is in pretty much every major city here in the United States, you're at least within driving distance of 1 hour of what we would consider to be a biblical church. You know, biblical doctrine, Christ-centered preaching, expository preaching, a biblical practice of church discipline, an adequate understanding of what is conversion, what is the new birth, etc. In Mexico, that's not always the case. In fact, in a lot of cities in Mexico, we can't even locate a church that believes in the doctrines of grace, preaches a biblical gospel, and practices credo baptism, believer's baptism. In the whole city of Guadalajara, you see it in the video, the city has about 6 million people. We are the only church that I know of that believes in the doctrines of grace and practices believer's baptism, you know, biblical church practice, regenerate church membership, etc. I mean, in the midst of a city of 6 million people, we're not even talking about other major cities all over Mexico. So our burden is to reach these churches, and we've really seen the Lord open doors by His grace for His glory to cause these truths to arrive in the midst of these churches, in the midst of professing Christians, and we're seeing them get converted. We're seeing, there was a lady in the video, this lady has 80 something years old. She's a widow. She was in a Christian church for over 2 decades. Tons of scripture memorized. Could say all the right things. Didn't understand the biblical gospel. Started congregating with us, if I remember correctly, about 4 months ago. And about 2 months ago, she surprised us by saying that she just got born again. I thought perhaps she's mistaken. You know, perhaps she just learned more doctrine or got revived or something. But I talked to her and she insists that God just saved her, that she had secret sin issues she was holding on to in her heart. And this is what we're seeing all over the place. We're getting flooded with emails. I mean, the Lord, I don't know what the future is for Mexico. I have over 300 emails in my inbox on my Spanish email address of people wanting counsel, people with questions about doctrine, people with all kinds of issues, and a whole flood of emails from major cities all over Mexico asking if we know of a church or if we have an extension or a missionary in that city. There are groups all over Mexico that are ready to form churches, that want biblical churches, and they just can't find one. And they say, we visited church after church, and they just preach prosperity doctrines, or they're constantly begging for tithes, or there's hyper-charismatic practice, or there's just all kinds of stuff. And I don't say this to criticize them. I say this out of a broken heart to plead with everybody here to please pray, to pray for Mexico, to pray that the Lord would raise up laborers. I mean, if we had more laborers that were preaching the biblical gospel, that could actually, you know, just open up Scripture and explain simple truths to believers that would help them and help them grow and understand Scripture, we could instantly, you know, the Lord is the head of the church, Christ and Christ alone, but Christ has people. And as the Lord told Paul that he had many people in Corinth, the Lord has many people in Mexico, and there are people ready to form churches, ready to congregate, wanting to be disciples, that are crying out and calling out for help, and we just don't have the means to go to them. So this started happening with Mexico City. We started getting, all of a sudden, a host of emails from Mexico City. And then people started driving from Mexico City 6 hours one way, 7 hours by bus, in order to congregate in Guadalajara every Sunday. They would take an all-night bus on Saturday, get there Sunday, be in the meeting of the church, and then Sunday afternoon go back to Mexico City. And this was a family that was doing this week after week. One of these, they're twin brothers, these two guys, one of them got converted through one of Brother Tim's messages online. They're driving all the way, or they're riding on a bus all the way to Guadalajara every week. Then Providence brought other people. One Sunday, there were about 10 or 12 different people in the congregation in Guadalajara that came over from Mexico City to visit us. So we started praying. Perhaps it's the Lord's will that we start a church plant over there. We did. I expected on that first meeting for there to be, you know, maybe 5 people, 10 people. In the first meeting we had in Mexico City, there were about 100 people.
How about we pray for Mexico?
Father, we can't hardly comprehend 100 million souls, most of which on the path to perdition. I just saw the sign just recently, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. What blasphemy. These people fall down, they worship Mary. We want Christ to be magnified in Mexico. Lord, please raise up laborers. Lord, give help. Keep these brothers and sisters that are involved in this work pure. Hold them up. Keep them faithful. Keep their gospel right and pure and good and Christ exalting. We pray that you would raise up more laborers, men and women sold out for the gospel, hungry for souls, soul winners. Lord, we pray that you'd allow Brother Charles' book to be published there. Why, we pray that it might go through multiple publishings, and that you would use that in a very special way to reach people there with that glorious doctrine of justification and regeneration. May they be talked about throughout the lands. May people throw down their idols and turn to Christ. Lord, have mercy on Mexico, please. I pray that you'd give these brethren here a burden to pray for Mexico in the months and years ahead. May they remember Joseph. May they be burdened for this work. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.